All I gotta do is angle the microphone. There we go. This time, children are dismissed to children's church. Let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, you've given us this chance and opportunity to, Lord, pay honor to our mothers. Lord, a noble calling, and Lord, we just pray a blessed day for them. Be with us as we celebrate and also remember. Lord, we invite your spirit on this place. Just speak to us today. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to begin this morning with a story. And I want to just kind of get us in tune with where we're headed today. I want to tell you about a time that Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson went camping. All right, picture it. The two of them laying on the ground. Sherlock Holmes, he wakes up and he looks up and just gazing on all the stars, the magnificence of all that's there. And he elbows Dr. Watson and said, "Watson, are you awake?" And after two or three times of that, Dr. Watson says, "Oh, yes, I'm awake." Sherlock Holmes says, "Watson, look up at the stars and tell me what that speaks to you." So Dr. Watson, he looks up and he's looking around. And he's trying to think, oh, what in the world Sherlock is after? And well, astronomically, I can see that Jupiter is in the constellation of Leo. Go on. So Dr. Watson, he thinks a little more. Meteorologically, it tells us that with such a beautiful night, tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day. Go on. By this time, Dr. Watson's really scratching his head. He's theologically, looking at the billions of stars in the sky, there must be a creator who created it all. What does it speak to you, Mr. Holmes? To which Sherlock replies, "Watson, you idiot, someone stole our tent." I want us to think today how to be the perfect mother. I can't preach that. That's a pretty lame title, right? Let's try another. Okay. How to be an almost perfect mother. We're getting closer. But let's try another. I like this one. How to be an overachieving, above average mother, at least on Facebook. I don't know if you've been there. I'm still not qualified to preach that. Let's try one more. How to be the best mother God has called you to be. That I can preach. You know, we look at Mother's Day, and I'd like to share this morning, I was contemplating, how does someone in men's ministry preach Mother's Day? Just like Dr. Watson, I'm clueless as to everything that's going on. Sometimes we see all the peripheral things, and we never miss the main point. So today, we're going to look at five different accounts, yes, a five-point sermon. Men who have your roast in, get ready, they're going to scorch. But I want to look at five different accounts in the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Just briefly, each one. We're going to spend a lot of time in the scripture. The first one I want to look at is in Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David.
And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The first thing we want to look at today is our first factoid of motherhood. All right, are you ready? Mothers must be open and willing to mother as God wills. Mary, in this situation, she just gets the news. But what we see about Mary in this situation is she's open to what God has in it. She's not going to function in her power, but under the power of the Holy Spirit. As a mother, and even as a father, you know, in a month when we get to talk to you, God, when he calls us to something, empowers us to do that thing. So Mary had a heart to be prepared for what God had for her. We're going to look at the second one. This one is in Luke 2, 15 through 20, where we look at the actual birth of the baby. And we're all familiar with the account. We're going to pick up further down within it. But Luke 2, beginning with verse 15. "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they've heard and seen, as it had been told them." With that, we want to look at the second factoid of motherhood. Mothers must take time to marvel and treasure the significance of mothering. I'm going to be honest with you. There are some days when you may be sick of the kids coloring on the wall. All right? Been there? We've been there. Why is it always permanent marker? Marvel at this person God has created. Sometimes they will make you crazy. Yeah. But God made them very lovable. And something to be treasured. The third scripture we want to look at, and we're going to probably spend a little more time on, is Luke 2, 41 through 52. Any mothers here ever deal with frustration? No one will raise their hand, but they all laughed, okay? Now his parents, that is Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Third factoid, mothers must try and understand and raise their children according to their wiring. Here's Mary. I want you to picture what's going on in this caravan. Any of you ever leave a kid? No? No one will admit it. Anyone want to raise your hand that you won't admit ever leaving a kid somewhere? You're not a mother. It doesn't count. I actually got left once. You know, when your kid is only like this big, it's easy to miss in the back seat. Of all places, I got left at church. They got home and, you know, like, the pastor called, you know, our phone was ringing as my mom and dad walked in the door and realizing that they miscounted. It wasn't that big a deal. I thought it was kind of funny until I got in trouble. I'm not the one that couldn't count. But here's a caravan. They all leave Jerusalem after the feast. And granted, they're all going together. Picture us at Mount McHenry. We're all doing our thing. All the kids are doing their thing. But you would think I would recognize before the whole weekend was over that we were missing one. Mary and Joseph, Jesus says their first child was the only one without sin. Imagine raising the perfect son who did no wrong. They probably trusted him. He probably earned that trust. However, James, Joe Jr., Simon, Judas, and the sisters all came along. I'm imagining they may have had their hands full with some of the other ones on this trip. They're day into the journey. Well, they're into the journey. Jesus, they can't find him. Go back to Jerusalem. They look for 3 days. They should have realized where to look first. He told them plainly, "Wouldn't you know I would be in my father's house?" I think the most amazing thing about this account is, like, you know, it doesn't end with, you know, "Jesus, you're grounded." It ends with Mary again. In verse 51, his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Mary needed to begin to understand and embrace who her son was. I was going to say us as mothers. That's not going to work. As mothers, your job is to learn how those babies are wired. They're all going to be different. Nana's working, you know, we're still working on finishing raising, you know, number five. They were all different. Sometimes it make us crazy, like these two would gang up on this one, or this one, you know, this one would. And you go to punish one, and the other ones, they just roll on you. You know, we don't understand sometimes. But it's a lifetime of learning as a mother. We got to learn how our children were wired, empowered, gifted by God. Love them that way. Come up beside them in that way. Begin to help them understand who they are in Christ. Fathers, it's important for us to be part of that as well. But recognize how God is gifting your children and live with them and work on them that way. We're going to look at the fourth interaction with Mary and Jesus, who is now grown. We're going to be looking in John chapter 2, begin with the first verse. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." They filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the wine, the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Fourth factoid, know when to launch. I think of all the factoids of motherhood, this is the hardest. There's a time when you got to disconnect the apron strings and the umbilical cord. At this point, Jesus is a grown man. Now, when I say that, most of the dads should have cheered. It's like, yeah, let him go. I want my wife back. But as mothers, we're built to nurture those babies, to love on them, to protect them. But part of that third factoid of knowing who they are and who God's making them into, there's a time for the birdies to leave. When we are still a mother or a father, separation is going to happen. If it's not happened yet, it's going to scare you to death. If it's already happened, it can still scare you to death. But you get a little bit of relief, okay? But But there's a time for this to happen. And in this account, they get to the feast, they run out of wine, and there's a problem. Because of the prior factoid there, Mary knew who Jesus was and what he could do about the situation. He knew he could do something. I'm not sure she knew what, but she knew him well enough to think he could do something. Now, the timetable was not really real close to what Jesus was planning. But he respected his mother and helped in that situation. She wasn't sure his timetable. And you know, Mary wasn't the perfect mother. That's why that first title got thrown out. If you can't be the perfect mother to the perfect son, I want to take that heat off of you this morning as a mother. You're not going to be perfect. No one expects you to be perfect. You shouldn't expect yourself to be perfect. So I want to take the moment, take the heat off. You get me? Mother to be, other mother to be, that, and mothers who've already launched. God can always redeem our mistakes, even in those hard times. Even when we look back and wonder how. I want to share one more scenario. This one is in John 19, beginning in 23. This one's a lot harder. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts. One part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that would have been John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. I hate even calling this next one a factoid, but I got to take the edge off it somehow. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes pain is involved as a mother. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. Sometimes it hurts. I think of what's going on here, and I picture, as I read this, Mary standing next to the cross, stripping her son naked, getting rid of his clothes. Your firstborn son, having been brutally tortured, nailed to a Roman cross in absolute, utter agony. And you as a mother standing there, Mary standing there, by her son's side. Few other women. John is there. But as I look at this, And that pain must have been horrible. I think of Jesus dying the most agonizing death he could for us, for his mother. And one of the most important things on his mind is that his mother was taken care of. In his last moments of life, he wanted to make sure his mother had a home and a man to take care of her. It was important to him. Sure, Mary didn't get it all right all the time, but it was enough. And it was remembered. And it mattered. And so, as we start to kind of wrap it up, I want to bring all five of those factoids back up. Just as a reminder, a mother must be open and willing, a mother as God wills. A mother must take time to marvel and treasure the significance of mothering. Mother must try to understand and raise their children according to their wiring or way. Mother needs to know when to launch. And a mother needs to realize that sometimes pain is involved. These will serve you well. You're not going to do them perfectly, but you're going to be good. And I want to wrap up the last slide. It's like, how can I communicate how to be a good mother? I want to tell you something. Today, May 13th, is the actual anniversary of the death of my youngest sister on Mother's Day. I had to watch my mother deal with factoid number 5 and how painful it was. Devastated. But not once did my mother lose hope in Jesus Christ. Not once. She still asked why. She still shook her head. And it's now been 4 years since my mother joined my sister. They're together this Mother's Day. Because of the blessed hope we have in Jesus Christ. Think about this Mother's Day. We celebrate our mothers. Everyone here had one, right? It's important. God desperately loves you. He imparted part of his love to our mothers and to our fathers. That's why as mothers and fathers, we love our kids so much. Because we're made in God's image. It's a gift. God gives us that gift to learn to love. And it does hurt sometimes. But as we close, realize it's never without reward if we do it the best we can. So my challenge to you as mothers, mothers to be, mothers in the faith, do it God's way. And it'll be a complete package. Not only will you honor God, but you'll honor your children. By being the best mom you can possibly be. With God's help. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I just hope I did this justice. Wasn't easy. Lord, I think of my mother in your presence. I remember her pain and her suffering. But I know it's gone. And I rejoice in the fact that this Mother's Day, she's being honored in your presence and by your presence. Lord, as we close in worship, Lord Jesus, let us remember you and how much you loved your mother. And Lord, how much you love us as well. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.